Blog Talk Radio.
Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas on Thursday, January the 11th, and it is very cold here in North Texas. If you live in North Texas, you know what I mean. At 10 o'clock this morning, it was like in the 50s, and now it's like 35, and it feels like 23 according to the to the iPhone, you know, the weather report on the iPhone. So it's gotten very cold all of a sudden here, and on top of that, it's very windy. So that just means you better, if you're going outside, as they say, you better have a good coat, maybe a good scarf, some good gloves, and better be able to get ready. If you have to wait for a bus, you better go well prepared. Well, today we're going to talk a little bit about this new debate about immigration. It appears to be moving in the right direction, and I'll tell you why I feel that way. Another judge in San Francisco, this is becoming a joke. I have a post about this on Friday morning. It's like you can always count on two things about the West Coast. The coastline is very pretty, you know, it's a pretty part of the country. And the other part is that there's going to be a judge in San Francisco looking to earn a anti-Trump medal. It's like, you know, they've got to put some anti-Trump medal on their chest. And that's what the silly judge is doing. I mean, it's just ridiculous, as I write in my post. I mean, it's just totally ridiculous. I mean, what this judge is basically saying is that President Trump cannot reverse an executive order from his predecessor. That's amazing. I mean, that's basically what he's saying when you take away all the language. And it's pretty silly because President Obama reversed executive orders of Mr. Bush, and it's been happening like this for quite some time. So a very silly judge in the West Coast, and we got to cut this out. But really, the only way you're going to cut it out is by having strong appellate courts. And one of the good news about the Trump administration is that he has put a lot of good judges in the appellate courts. And these are the judges that are going to stop most of this nonsense. You cannot stop people from shopping for a judge. I mean, they're going to do that. But you stop it, as I say, when you appeal it to the next level, and there you have strong conservative judges who understand the Constitution. And my guess is that this particular judge, this ruling, is going to be, you know, canceled or whatever the word is when it goes up the chain, and this is going to happen again. And by the way, this judge apparently has a good track record of being reversed. Nothing new. I have a post over at the American Thinker this morning about the U.S. diplomats in Cuba. There's no solution to that problem. It keeps going. Several U.S. diplomats, I'm sure you're familiar with the story, were hurt in Cuba. They're called sonic attacks. They were kind of like electronic attacks that hurt their hearing. In some cases, even worse than that. And many of these diplomats are being treated right now in Washington. Secretary Tillerson has decided not to send anybody down to Cuba of any consequence. They've reduced the staff to a bare minimum. They've also requested that some Cuban diplomats go back to Cuba. So this is an ugly situation. This is an ugly situation, but this is what we're in. We didn't really do the homework with Cuba. I think President Obama was so determined to reestablish relations with Cuba that he really didn't do the homework necessary to deal with a government like this. I mean, it's the same thing that he did with the Iran deal. Of course, that was more consequential, more a bigger mistake, because that's Iran, a country that has a much bigger military, of course, in Cuba. But it was a big mistake. It was a big mistake to do what President Obama did with Cuba, and I think now we're beginning to realize the consequences. The House today passed FISA. It'll go to the Senate for debate. Look, I know that there are some allegations that FISA, or a dossier, as they like to call it, was used to obtain a FISA warrant. And if that's the case, that has to be looked at, because that's pretty serious. That's a very serious matter. But that doesn't mean that the program is bad. I've always been a supporter of FISA, because you have to have your intelligence operation. I mean, look, 99.9% of the people working in our intelligence operations are very patriotic people. They're looking out for the country. They're protecting us from bad people. So you're not going to shut down the whole thing because one mistake was made. So I support what the House did here. Hopefully it'll go to the Senate. It'll get more contentious in the Senate, of course, because they got to get 60 votes. And you've already heard a great deal about Senator Paul and his opposition to this. And again, I don't necessarily disagree with Senator Paul and some of his objections. I'm just simply saying we have got to protect ourselves in this day and age of international terrorism, as well as all the technology that terrorists are now using. So I understand what the White House or what the House did, but you know, I also understand what some of the critics of this particular program. Now let's talk a little bit about President Trump, immigration, DACA. Obviously, President Trump today spoke in a way that does not help him when he was talking about some of these countries. I understand the frustration, but this is not the right way to speak. I hope that it would be nice if he would actually apologize for that, saying that it was a bad moment and that he meant no disrespect. But the big picture is that it does appear that DACA and TIPS, which is the program for El Salvador refugees, it does appear that this is moving in the right direction. And what I mean by that is it's moving in a direction where you're going to have a solution to these DACA dreamers, but you're also going to get border security. You're going to get some other kind of enforcement, perhaps with employers and so on. So if we can get those big things, border security, whether it's a wall or whatever else border security we get, employer enforcement, I've always believed that you got to go after the employers if you really want to do something about illegal immigration. So if we can get those things, if we can stop the chain immigration, if we can go more into a merit immigration-based system, if we can get these things, I think that DACA is a small price to pay. I personally think many of these so-called dreamers, young people who were brought here by their parents, I have no real problem in giving them some kind of a legalization path. I mean, it's not that difficult of a problem, but you got to get the other big stuff. But it does appear to be moving in that direction. And that's what that's what we understand, that there is a movement in the direction where, yes, you're going to get DACA, but you're going to get some other things along with it. And I think that's good. I think that's a good thing for us to get DACA, but more important than that, get these other things that I think will prevent illegal immigration in the future. We're going to take a little break. We're going to hear from one of our sponsors, and we'll be right back. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, where, as I said at the start of the show, it is really cold here all of a sudden. I mean, it was like 60 degrees, I think, something like that. It was very nice this morning. Well, it was a little chilly, but I mean, very nice. And now all of a sudden, it's like windy and very cold. So if you're going outside, or if you're coming to Dallas, better bring a scarf, because it is really, really cold. We remember today Rod Taylor. I don't know if you remember Rod Taylor. He was a great movie star, familiar with two big movies. One is called A Time Machine, which is based on H.G. Wells' book of, I guess, the 19th century. The other movie, though, that I think most people are more familiar with is the movie called The Birds, you know, where you have this town in San Francisco, or in the San Francisco Bay Area, whatever, this little town, and where all these birds go berserk and they're attacking people. That's the Alfred Hitchcock movie. And he was in that movie. He was the lead character, the lead male character in the movie. And he did a great job in that movie, by the way. That is a great movie still so many years later. I think they made a rerun of that movie, or they made a second part of that movie, whatever they do when they do the second time. It was not as good, I thought. I think many of these classic movies, particularly when you get into movies like Hitchcock, you're better off with the original. when they try to do a second time around, it's not the same thing. It's not the same thing. So they need to stop doing that. Just come up with new movies. I think that's what they need to do. Well, on this day in 1989, President Reagan delivered his famous farewell address. Now, for those of you who are history or presidential history people like me who enjoy going back and reading about the presidents, we have not had a lot of very famous farewell addresses. They've become fairly routine. I think every president, starting with Truman, delivered a farewell address. Most of them, you know, they just moved on and nobody, you know, they're in the library, but nobody really reads them. Now, the most famous one, of course, was the very first one by President Washington after he left. And that would have been 1797. He delivered a farewell address. Of course, back then, they actually wrote them and gave them to the country in writing. And the country actually read them. Then it took a long time after that. And we got to President Eisenhower in 1961. And this is probably the one that most people remember from the 20th century. This is the one where President Eisenhower spoke about the military complex. By the way, this is a speech that a lot of people have misunderstood. It's not that President Eisenhower was anti-military or anti-military spending, not at all. He was obviously a man who understood the importance of being prepared for war. I mean, he himself was involved in World War II and led the Allies, so he understood the importance of having a good army and a good operation. He was more talking about waste and misuse of money and potentially the power of let's say a military complex over members of Congress. So he was talking more along those lines, but it was not an anti-military speech by any means, as some people have said it is. And of course, we remember today, January 11th, 1989, when President Reagan gave his farewell speech. And for many of us, of course, it was the end of a presidency that we were very much invested in. And the speech was very much Reagan. I have a post about this today in my blog where you can read part of the speech. It was very much Reagan. It was Reagan's, you know, optimistic, very optimistic about the future and very optimistic about the United States. It was Reagan being Reagan, which is what many of us really loved about him. And he talked about the future and he talked about how great the future was going to be and so on. And probably if you look at that speech, we've had since then, we had one by President Bush. We had one by President Clinton. There was another one by President Bush. I don't think any of those three have come close to the Reagan one. Again, not because those were bad speeches. I don't mean to suggest that. Oh, I think there was also one by President Obama, so you've had four of them since 1989. I don't think that they were necessarily bad speeches, the ones from the last four presidents. But there was something about the Reagan style, the optimism, how he spoke about the country that I think is what touched many of us. For many of us, like I say, of my generation, who got really invested into that presidency, who got into politics. I mean, I became a conservative Republican because of Reagan. I was a conservative before, but I became a conservative Republican because of Reagan. And that speech in many ways was the last episode of his amazing life. And it was a way of saying farewell to not just a great president, but a man who had a tremendous influence on people like me, in my generation. And as I say, he is the reason that I became a conservative. He's the reason, I mean, that I became a Republican. I was a conservative before, but it was really because of Reagan that I became a conservative Republican and have been ever since and continue to be. So we remember today one of the great speeches of American politics, the Reagan Farewell Address, a wonderful speech by a wonderful man, full of optimism, with a big smile and talking about the great United States and how great the future was. And it was very inspirational. My gosh, that was what, 28 years ago tonight. Wow, how time flies. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas. My time is flying too, so I got to say good night. Good night, everybody.